Blog Talk Radio.
Baruch Hashem, Yehovah, Baruch Hashem, Yeshua, Ben Yehovah, and Baruch Hashem, Ruach HaKodesh. This is Mark Lichtenwalter. I'm fundamentally Mormon, and I just spoke in Hebrew. What I said was, blessed be the name of the Father, Yehovah. Blessed be the name of the Son, Yeshua, who the Gentiles call Jesus Christ. And blessed be the name of the Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit. All right, so anyway, I'm just pulling into a place where I can park currently so I can do the radio show and read what we're going to read tonight. We're continuing on with Ogden Krauts' book, which is a compilation of all of his pamphlets, which Beverly Kraut compiled for us. And you can find that pretty easy. It is at ogdenkraut.com. Just go to book availability. And select pamphlets, which is the name of what we're reading tonight. All right, so let me check the studio. The call-in number for anyone who wants to call in is 917-889-8827. That's 917-889-8827. And it doesn't look like we have anybody on the air at this point, unless, let me refresh it real quick. My wife said she was going to call in, but I don't see her phone number on the studio. Oh, well, we'll get into the reading right now. So we're going to be reading The Coming Crisis, and we're on page 27 of pamphlets by Ogden Krauts. Parley P. Pratt, excerpts from The Coming Crisis, Millennial Star, Volume 15, page 273 through 276, 289 through 292, April 30th, 1853. Note, these excerpts are taken from a little publication foretelling the future of America, published in 1853 under the title of The Coming Crisis. Although no author's name was given at the time, it is attributed to Parley P. Pratt. I gotta roll this window up so you guys don't have to hear trucks driving by. I drive a coal truck, and I drive at night. So I have to take a 30-minute lunch as part of the Department of Transportation's regulations against truck drivers, because I can't eat while I'm driving, apparently. And I don't know. I don't get them. Like, Why do you have to regulate me having a 30-minute lunch? Like, I can take a break when I feel like I need to take a break and I have to worry about it. Because if I take a break too early, then I'm screwing myself up. But if I take a break too late, then I'm breaking the law. Like, ugh, seriously. Anyway, let me just go back and see if my wife did finally make it onto the air. Okay, there she is. I think that's her. Let me unmute her. Is this my wife?
Do you know what my phone number is?
I don't know what your phone number is. I push my headset and I say, call Kim Wife, and then it does it. So I don't even hardly know what my phone number is. You should know that, because like, I'm always like, hey, Kim, what's my phone number? Anyway, you can mute yourself or you can stay unmuted and just interrupt me whenever you feel like it. Since you get that higher privilege of being my wife, that is your job, to interrupt me whenever you feel like it. And I'm going to tell those kids to go away and close the door. They should be in bed anyway. It's 11 o'clock at night. Anyway, okay.
I am.
What's that?
I was just saying, I know.
Okay. All right, I'll just start the reading. This message should be studied more now than ever before. A great and awful crisis is at hand. Such a crisis was never known before since the foundation of the world. All nations are looking through the misty future in order to decry, if possible, what is about to happen. Many sermons have been preached, many speeches have been made, and some pamphlets have been published with the hope of lifting up the veil of the future. I say again that God, the highest of all, will make bare his arm in the eyes of all nations, that the heavens even will be rent, and the lightning down, and the lightning, or lighting, down of his power will be felt by all nations. Whatever exalts and opposes itself to God, that is Antichrist. Whether it is civil or religious power, but the most formidable power that will be arrayed against the, against Christ and his saints in the last days will consist of the revelations of Satan. These revelations of Satan will come through every medium and channel by which the cunning and power of Satan can be brought to bear against the saints and their Lord. Let me just say, when somebody receives revelation, so I had a friend of mine contact me today, and he was asking me, you know, how long it's been since I've received a Thus Saith the Lord revelation, and I said, well, I haven't received any since August of 2017. That's the last time I received, like, a written revelation. But, you know, I've received revelation since, as far as inspirations and whatnot. But whenever I receive revelations, I know, as a prophet, that I can receive revelation from wrong sources as well as from God. And since it's a still small voice that I am receiving, I'm told, sit down and write. And then that's when I received the written revelation. But I know that that I can receive false revelations as well. So when I receive the revelation, I act with a believing heart, like a little child, as we're instructed to, and I take it to my Father in heaven, and I ask him for confirmation, and I tell him I believe this revelation is from him, and I ask for confirmation of the Holy Ghost. And if I get confirmation, which is Galatians chapter 22 and 23, or I'm sorry, chapter 5, verses 22 and 23, the fruit of the Spirit, which is peace, joy, love, and these type of feelings. And then there's another one too, when the two disciples were on the road to Emmaus, and Jesus was walking with them, but they didn't realize it was Jesus. And then they realized it was Jesus, and they were like, and then Jesus disappears, right? You're Yeshua, which is what his true Hebrew name is. The one disciple looks at the other, and he said, did not our hearts burn within us? They had that burning in the bosom feeling. And they had it while he was talking, and I believe that is a testimony of the Spirit that Jesus Christ is in your presence, whenever you feel that. So, whenever I get a revelation or an inspiration, or I think I know what I'm talking about certain scriptures, I study it out to the best of my ability. I pray over it, and then I ask for confirmation of the Holy Spirit. And if it's from God, I get it. And if it's not from God, if it's from a false source, it's false doctrine, the Holy Spirit will leave me, and I will feel the buffetings of Satan. And the fruit of the adversary is the exact opposite of the fruit of the Holy Spirit, or the Ruach HaKodesh, which is, the fruit of the adversary is anxiety, depression, anger, hate, spite, these type of feelings, impatience, these type of feelings. And I know when that happens, when the Spirit withdraws from me and I feel the fruit of the adversary, I know that the revelation that I received was not right. And I keep everything real simple as well, because what if God is giving me something and then I interject something of my own thoughts in there? Well, the thing that I interject is not right, but the thing that God was trying to convey to me is right. So if I keep it simple and I go line upon line, precept upon precept, I can get confirmation line upon line, precept upon precept. And then I don't have to worry about being a prophet of Satan. I had a friend who was a very good friend of mine, and he had the gift of being a seer. He was a true prophet, seer, and revelator. Now, God is the one that chooses prophets, seers, and revelators. The church does not. But he had the gift. But along with that gift, he was receiving revelations from false sources and from God. And I tried to teach him to check his revelations, make sure that he got confirmation. And he just refused. He became a prophet of the adversary, and God delivered him over to those wicked and divisive spirits that he was listening to, because he was becoming a prophet for them, a prophet of Satan, Satan. So it's really important. If you're receiving revelation, like my friend was today, he told me he's going to send me. I haven't checked it. I've been working. But he's going to send me this written revelation that he got, thus saith the Lord, which was giving him instruction on, I don't even know what. We didn't talk about the details, but he sent it to me today. And I was telling him he's got to check the revelation by the Holy Spirit. And that's the only way you can know that it's from God. And you should do that. And not just be like my other friend, who is actually in prison for 40 years to life, because he was delivered over to the buffetings of Satan, and he followed those spirits right down into the depths of hell. And now he's in prison for 40 years to life. 41 years to life. What was that, Kim?
Did he already send it to you? Do we know?
Well, that was right before I took a shower to get ready for work, and then he dropped me off at work at 5:30, and I've been driving ever since. So I don't know.
Okay, I'm going to check.
Exactly. Okay, I don't want to talk about it on this show just because I don't want to betray confidences. We could talk about it later. Anyway, so I just wanted to make that point, since this is talking about the coming crisis and Satan and his revelations, which he wants to give. It is a great mistake to suppose that Satan is altogether a religious personage. No, far from this. He is a politician, a philosopher, an erudite scholar, a linguist, a metaphysician, a military commander, a prince, a god, a necromancer, an enchanter, a diviner, a magician, page 28, a sorcerer, a prophet, and if it were not railing, a clergyman and a liar from the beginning. With these universal endowments, he has never hitherto made a full and grand exhibition of himself, as it remains for him to do. But the Lord, who gave him an opportunity to try his battery upon good old Job, is fully designing to give him sufficient apparatus to deceive all the nations that love not the truth and have pleasure in unrighteousness. Or, in other words, those who are lawless. What, lawless, Torahless? Just throwing that in there. Partly Pratt didn't say that. I'm just saying that. Anyway, continuing. His signs and tokens are as ancient as the apostasy of Cain, and as varied as will suit the secret designs in all ages. Now, don't doubt what I say concerning this matter, but rather read the history of his skillful exploits and his mighty power, as they are recorded in the Old and New Testaments. Take a Bible and a concordance and read attentively for yourself, and you will there learn that I am telling you the truth. Now there is a greater destruction coming upon the wicked nations of the earth than was ever or was even experienced by Pharaoh at the Red Sea. But before that destruction can be made manifest, men's hearts will be hardened, and wickedness will rise to do a more overtowering height, or to a more overtowering height than many begone generations have been allowed to witness. The great shall be, and great shall be that scene. The devil in the last stage of desperation will take such a preeminent lead in literature, politics, philosophy, and religion, in wars, famines, pestilence, earthquakes, thunderings and lightnings, setting cities in conflagration, etc., that mighty kings and powerful nations will become constrained to fall down and worship him. The great capabilities of the elements of fire, earth, and water will be brought into requisition by cunning men under the superior cunning of the prince and god of this world, page 29. And inflated with the knowledge of these wonderful arts and powers, men will become boasters, heady, high-minded, proud, and despisers of that which is good. But the God who is above all and over all, and who ruleth in the armies of heaven and amongst the inhabitants of the earth, will not be a silent observer of such spiritual wickedness in high places. And among the rulers of the darkness of this world, for the master spirits of wickedness of all ages and of worlds invisible and visible will be arrayed in the rebellious ranks before the closing scenes shall transpire. Now just at this time, God will come out of his hiding place and vex the nations with his hot displeasure. For it cannot be denied that the facts and truths will constitute such a measure of ingredients of these mysterious and wonderful arts as to give them an irresistible strength of conviction to those who are unenlightened by the Spirit of God or the Ruach HaKodesh. And so far as facts and truths are mingled, it must also be acknowledged that God, Yehovah, the true and living sovereign of heaven and earth, will contribute to produce the delusion. Because in 2 Thessalonians it says, all they who believe a lie receive strong delusion that they might be damned because they did not love the truth. At 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. He has said that he will send them strong delusion that they might believe a lie. He gives his reason and apology for acting after this strange manner, because knowing the truth, they do not love it unadulterated, and knowing God or Yehovah, they do not choose to glorify him as Elohim or God. I just want to throw something out there. So I'm not a member of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, but I do know that Joseph Smith is a true prophet, and I do love to read, Parley P. Pratt and Wilford Woodruff and John Taylor, Brigham Young, all these guys. I don't actually belong to any church but the church I organized, which God told me to do, the Church of the Living Messiah. Let's see. I don't know why I just said that. But I had something I wanted to say, and then it was just taken away. Anyway, but I accept Joseph Smith as a true prophet, but I don't accept the authority claims of the LDS Church. So that's why this is fundamentally Mormon, because I am a fundamentalist. maybe it'll come to me as I continue to read. Therefore, their foolish hearts become darkened, and God suffers Satan to compound and mix up truth and error in such proportions as to be captivating and strongly delusive. As a snare, this composition will be ingenuously mixed and administered to all nations by skillful and practiced hands. Page 30. And who shall be able to stand? Do you think that your great sagacity and the compass of your profound philosophical turn of mind will enable you to detect the error and delusion of all these arts? Oh man, this is vain hope. Your mind will not be able to will not be competent to detect the delusion. But and so the reason why I study things out so much and I continually question what I know I've received of God and even revelations and inspirations is because there is the curse in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. If you believe the lie, you receive strong delusion. God gives you strong delusion because you believe the lie of false doctrine because you did not have a love of the truth. And what I take from that is people who just follow their leaders, follow their prophets and their pastors and their ministers and their teachers without questioning and getting revelation from God, they did not love the truth enough to get revelation from God. And God wants all his children to be prophets. James chapter 1, verse 5, if you lack wisdom, ask God and he will give it to you. That's revelation. You get revelation? You may not be a major prophet like Jeremiah and Isaiah and Ezekiel and Joseph Smith, but you are entitled to receive revelation for yourself. God is no respecter of persons, and he expects you not to be led around by the nose, but to get revelation and confirmation of the Holy Spirit upon principles and doctrines, line upon line, precept upon precept. And when your leaders give you false doctrine, you need to be able to get revelation for yourself on the truth. Because you are held accountable for your own beliefs and your own actions. And they are not accountable for you. When you stand at the judgment, you'll have to answer for why you did what you did and why you believed what you believed and why you rejected the prophets that were sent to you. Continuing on, and accepting the false prophets that are among you. God himself will allow Satan to ply your scrutinizing eye with powers and sophistications far beyond your capacity to detect. Do you say then, I will stand aloof from investigation and I will shun all acquaintances with this mysterious workings in order that I might that I may not be carried away in their delusive influence? Vain hope, O man, you cannot be neutral. You must choose your side and put on your armor. Those that come not up to help to the help of the Lord in the day of battle will be sorely cursed. Reader, if you live long, you will be compelled to take a side for God or for Satan. Satan was allowed to try a compulsory process upon a good man, as good a man as Job. The whirlwind and the tempest elements with disease and death were put into Satan's hand that he might compel Job to abandon his integrity. Had not Job possessed the key of revelation from Jehovah, he would have been compelled to have made peace with Satan and forsake Jehovah, or the Lord. Your being a minister of some church will not serve you as the least screen for you against the hot indignation of Jehovah. Unless you have the law and the testimony of the true and living God, made known to you personally through revelation, for the time has come that God will write his law upon every man's heart that will receive it, that the ink, not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God. I don't know why I'm having such a hard time reading tonight. I'll continue. And against him that hath this law, the gates of hell never have prevailed and never will prevail. Heaven and earth shall pass away before a jot of this law or the Torah shall be made to succumb to the wicked men or devils. Page 31. The heavens have been shaken once when angels rebelled, and they are destined to another shaking, even with the earth. That reminds me of the Book of Enoch. If anybody hasn't read that, it's pretty interesting. It was in the Dead Sea Scrolls. A lot of people thought the Christians made it up, but it actually was, in the Dead Sea Scrolls, which are dated far before Christ ever was alive, so our Messiah, Yeshua. When you yourself have promised the gift of discerning of spirits, then you will not have to ask your neighbor who is an imposter and who is not. See, you shouldn't put your trust in men. You should put your trust in God. And getting interpretation from God is the only correct interpretation to receive. And you will know the foundation, the fountainhead, all about it, just as well as the next person. He that is spiritual judgeth all things. Many things are hard to be understood and reconciled, which the unstable and unlearned stumble at. Even as formerly, he that is spiritual can easily judge all things. You know, he's not giving a quote here, but Peter actually said this about Paul. Peter said that Paul's writings were hard to understand, and that the unstable and unlearned would twist them. I'm not remembering exactly the correct quote, but anyway, did you have something to say, Kim?
I am.
He that is.
You said you're having an issue with reading for some reason tonight, so I am trying to get to page 33, which I just got to.
Oh, okay.
I've been trying to follow along so I could read for you.
Did you pull the book out?
No, I'm online.
From the shelf? Oh, you found it
online.
Oh, okay. He that is spiritual can easily judge all things, but he that is not spiritual can judge nothing correctly, for he is blind and cannot see afar off. Reader, be absolute. This is a critical and trying moment with you, and this is God's call unto you. Don't refuse when he calls you. And if you are honestly, without prejudice, meditating upon what you know or what you now read, then God's Spirit is sweetly persuading you to believe what I say. The faint dawn of the Spirit is even now upon your mind. Now, reader, cherish this little dawn of light until the daylight of more truth shines more clearly upon your mind. Pray mightily for the Spirit of revelation to rest upon you, that you may know the things that are freely given to you of God. So that's the end of that pamphlet. The next pamphlet is called The Bible and the Taxman by Ogden Kraut. And let me see. We have 90 seconds left on the live streaming portion of the radio program. Anybody who wants to continue to listen can call in 917-889-8827. That's 917-889-8827. I don't see anybody on the studio. So, did you have anything that you wanted to talk about, Kim?
No, I was having a hard time finding it online when I was trying to look it up, because you're on the pamphlet section, and what I was looking for was the book.
Oh, yeah. So if you want to read that, what I was just reading, just go to OgdenCrowd.com and select pamphlets, and I was on page, I think, like, yeah, somewhere around 33.
Yeah.
So the next, each of these pamphlets have a number to the page of the pamphlet. And now that we're on a new pamphlet, finally, after 3 days of reading the last one, it starts off at 1. So it's The Bible and the Taxman by Ogden Kraut, and I don't know. We'll have time to go over that, but you can read it if you'd like. It's really interesting. I was listening to it on my e-reader thing earlier.
Yep.
So what do you want to do?
Oh, I couldn't hear you. You said you were reading it on your e-reader earlier, and I said, yep, and then nothing.
Oh, I just wanted to know if you had something you wanted to read, or if we should just end the show now, because I just finished that pamphlet, so I'll start the next one.
Well, it was
or
really
you can read
though,
it.
Because what you had told me, what we were reading, it's on his list of books.
Yeah.
Oh, goodness. Now I have to go up to the top again. Hold on. I'm scrolling again. So, what was it? What did you tell me that you were reading from? Which pamphlet was it?
Oh, it was the first pamphlet. American Crisis, I think it is.
Okay.
I think,
Because he has one on coming American Revolution.
I think that's the first one. We just finished the first one.
Yeah, Coming American Revolution is a different thing, but it's not with any other pamphlets or anything. It just has sections. And on page 33 of that was what I thought you were on.
Oh, you're in the book, The Coming American Revolution.
Yeah.
That's actually a book. We're in pamphlets, which is
right,
Beverly.
Right, wasn't in the pamphlet section, yeah.
Yeah, Beverly Kraut compiled all of Ogden's pamphlets and put them in a book. And that's what I'm reading right now. I've never read it before. I've never read any of his pamphlets other than the ones that have been given by Kevin and Beverly Kraut.
Mm-hmm. So what is it called? It's just called the pamphlet book?
It's called pamphlets. It's called pamphlets. Just go to OgdenKraut.com.
Oh, I see. Pamphlets of Ogden Kraut.
Yeah.
Interesting.
And it is all there, and we're on page one of the second pamphlet, which is the Taxman one.
Yeah, and you don't have to go into another one every new pamphlet. It just keeps going down and scrolling.
Yeah, so if you want to do, are you on the iPad?
No, I'm not. I just have my phone.
You're on the computer? You're on the phone. Okay, I don't know how to do your phone. So, if you're on the iPad's right there.
That's okay. Neither do I.
On the bed. The iPad's right there on the bed. You can always grab that. So anyway, we don't have any callers. So, and I just finished that pamphlet. So, did you have anything you wanted to talk about, or should I end the program?
No, you can end the program if you want to. I was just trying to help you out. Follow along with it.
Thanks.
I did look up to see if that what you were saying, but whoever was sending it to you has not yet. So
he hasn't sent me the revelation yet?
No, nothing.
That's fine. he just contacted me today and wanted to know if I'd received any revelations recently, and I was like, not for almost a year. Nothing, thus saith the Lord. The only thing that I received was that I should not join any group or church because they're all out of order, and that I should go among them as he leads me. So that's what I do. And, we still baptize people if they want and perform certain ordinances in the Church of the Living Messiah, but we don't hold regular meetings. And in fact, I tell the people to go back to the LDS church or whatever church that they are in and just be a light to the people. And not even to mention who I am or anything like that, but just to be a light to the people, because a lot of people don't know the deeper doctrine. They don't know the meat of the gospel. And so if I can teach them something, that's great. But if they can go back and be a light to the people in their wards, that's fine too. That's great. So anyway, I guess I'll end the program. Thank you for calling.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll be back on Sunday night at 11, between 11 and 11:30. And each show will be 30 to 45 minutes. So we'll just leave it at that. Thank you for listening. Please share this. Oh, and also anybody can find these at Church of the Living Messiah on Facebook or Zion's Redemption Bookstore on Facebook, the pages. I post them there, and you can also find these at blogtalkradio.com/fundamentallymormon and blogtalkradio.com/thekingdomofgodornothing. So I'll leave it at that, and we'll just start.
Okay. I do have one thing to say, though. Well, you've been talking a lot about Revelation tonight, though, and getting Revelation stuff for people.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just curious, because I know we've discussed it a little bit before, but a lot of people think that they can, hallucinate their way into or use drugs or something to get revelation or to
revelation. Our friends down in St. George, who shall not be named, in his Hiawatha or whatever the he's like, you can help you get revelation. It's like, no, I don't think that I never had to get revelation.
Yeah. And well, are you still there? Oh,
I just muted it because it's windy out here, so I'm just muting it. I'm listening.
Oh, okay. Well, I was thinking maybe you could, to maybe inspire anybody who's listening, you could help them to understand how to receive revelation. And a lot of people, I think, well, at least in my mind, I always would think, oh, you're not going to receive revelation unless if you are, a prophet, or you're so loved by God, or you're better than anybody else. And it seems like that's like a stigma that people put on it, like you can't receive revelation. But the truth of it is, if you look in the past in any scriptures about who receives revelation, it isn't just somebody that everybody deems to be worthy of it. It's who God chooses. So it could be anybody, and everybody can receive revelation. And I was just thinking, if you wanted to talk about that a little bit for people who maybe they doubt a little bit that they could, or they're not sure, well, how do I do it? Or what is revelation? You know what I mean? Like, how do I know that I'm giving revelation? Just those kind of questions that are kind of basic, and you would think everybody would know. But maybe if you wanted to talk a little bit about that to help other people to understand, even when they are receiving revelation, instead of just casting it aside as another thought. So I don't know if you wanted to talk about that, since you've been talking a lot about revelation tonight.
Well, I mean, all I can do is tell them, what I said before, when you get revelation, you need to check it by the Spirit. So, but God mm-hmm. wants all of his people to get revelation. And the more time you spend with God, the more time he's going to spend with you. And the more questions you ask, the more answers you're going to get. So when you're reading the scriptures, I look at it as a tool. Like if I wanted to build muscle, I'd go to the gym and I would work out through repetition. Well, if I want to build spiritual muscle, I'm going to pray. I'm going to read the scriptures, and I'm going to talk about things, pray about things, and ask God for inspiration and revelation on those topics. And, most of the time, it just comes by the small whisperings of the Holy Spirit. Like Elijah mm-hmm. said, it wasn't in the earthquakes, and it wasn't in the lightning, it wasn't in the wind. It was by a small, still small voice.
You don't necessarily have to hear a voice. There isn't like an angel that may come in front of you and say, write this down. But it's more of like the whisperings of the Spirit to your mind, is what you're saying, right?
Yeah, I mean, I've had that happen where I've had a voice answer me, and I've had it happen where mm-hmm. I have seen the presence of angels and spoken to deity and all kinds of stuff. But most of the time, mm-hmm. The Spirit just comes, and I listen. I know that I'm receiving revelation. I'm receiving it in my mind, and then I am asking God for confirmation of the Holy Spirit that it's from Him.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I know that it was the first time that I had received revelation. For me, it was kind of interesting. Well, remember when you received Revelation, you were like, well, just sit down and write, you know, how you feel and just start writing about stuff. And then you were like, never mind, write this down.
Well, I was trying to help. Okay, so God is no respecter of persons, and he wants us all to be prophets. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And he wants to speak to us and not to be led by other people. So I was trying to help my wife, you know, like receive revelation for herself, and not just revelation, but written revelation for herself. And as I was trying to help her, the Spirit started speaking to me. God started speaking to me in this small voice, and I was like, oh, hold on, write this down. But you have received revelations on your own, independent of me helping.
Yes, yes.
Remember that girl down in St. George that you received revelation to help out?
Yeah, that was interesting. But I didn't want to give it to anybody because I was like, no, you know, nobody is going to believe this kind of stuff. And also I was more like, who am I to tell somebody else? You know, it's kind of like that kind of feeling and stuff. But I do remember.
And they can accept it or reject it. So we don't have very much longer on the radio program, but go ahead and wrap it up.
Well, I was just going to say, when I received that, I remember feeling like it kind of is confusing at first because you're like, this is kind of ridiculous. Like, I feel like I'm kind of talking to myself almost in my head, but I know that I'm not the one talking to me. It's kind of interesting to do it. So the first time was a little bit weird. But I do remember feeling this overwhelming feeling of gratitude and thankfulness from, you know, God, that I was receiving it from, like, finally, you know, he was very happy that I was listening. Like, I've been trying to talk to you, and I'm so glad that you're finally hearing what I'm saying. And that's the, I had this overwhelming, like, happy gratitude feeling of joy when I finally wrote it down and stuff. So that, it does happen, and it is really interesting, so.
Yeah. And, you know, when you receive that and you have the Spirit confirm it while you're receiving it, that's great, you know. So I'd love to talk more about this, but I have been on my break for 43 minutes, and the phone call is going to end here in less than 2 minutes. So I'll give you a call back after the program, and we'll just end the program at this time. So thank you, everybody, for listening. Take care. God bless, and shalom.